Well, good morning everyone, and welcome to this 10 o'clock service of Holy Communion here at All Saints. Welcome to those of you who are joining us in the internet, either now or in a bit of time when you will see exactly what we've been up to. So welcome wherever and whenever you are. Right, we have just two notices. I mean, there's lots of other notices if you really want to know all the things that happen. Have a look at the electronic mailing. They're all listed. And but the one I'm going to mention is a waiting room here on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Time to just take time to be with God in silence and listen to him. Just be with him, surrounded by him. So that's the first one. And the second one, I have two thank you certificates from the food bank. So last week we donated to the food bank for harvest. We did really well. So you ought to be really, our generosity astounds us. There's a certificate for £30 that was given to the food bank, so they thank us for that. And there's also for a thank you certificate for 57.77, that's very precise, Peter, 57.77 kilograms of items, and if you, which is absolutely awesome. So a big thanks from the food bank to us from that, and you can see how much, you know, how much we got last year, because the old certificate's still at the back. So you can have a look at those. Right then. So we come together this morning to learn who we are in God and who God is in us. So on the whole, most of the things you need to say are in white. And everything I'm going to be saying probably going to be in yellow. So, let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. So, Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us new hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing the first of our songs today. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. Please stand.
Oh,
please have a seat. So we come now to a time where we can reflect on all those things that we know we haven't quite got right, things that we want to change, things that we need God's help to change within us. So let us just take a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to give us a quick prod. The Word of God is living and active. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. All is open and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we give account. So now we confess our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, our Maker and our Redeemer, this is your world, and we are your people. Come among us and save us. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have not loved you with our whole heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as an act of receiving God's forgiveness, let us boldly draw near to him, giving him our lives, our love, our worship. I'm going to invite you to stand. We have two songs now. Hopefully they're going to blend nicely into one another. But if you do find it all a bit wearisome on the foot, please grab a seat. Please stand.
Thank you.
So if you'd like to take a seat, and Jean's going to come and bring us the reading today.
The reading is from John 14, verses 1 to 7. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
And now Paul is going to come and open up this penultimate sermon in the series of I Am. Let's just pray for you, Paul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul, all that you have given him to share with us. We pray that we will have the open hearts and open minds to hear your voice. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Do you want me to nod at me?
Would you? Would you? Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I am not a great one for quizzes. Shall I start again? I'm not a great one for quizzes, but I'm starting with a quiz, so I hope. Anyone else not really like quizzes here? Actually, quite a number. Oh, I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one. Oh, wonderful. Right. Here's a quiz. Those wonderful words we've just had from, read from Jean, John 14, 1 to 6. Three quick questions. We'll just have a pause. You can think. When did you last hear these words read? John 14, 1 to 6. Who read it? And who was listening? Just pause a moment. So I'm going to ask three different people. My first question, when did you last hear it? Yes?
At my father's funeral.
Really? How long ago was that?
Well, quite some time ago. But it was very special because it specifically, I chose the passage for my father's funeral and it was very meaningful.
Isn't that marvellous? Wonderful. Sometimes scripture does this, doesn't it? It just brings us back to a memory, very precious memory. It's not quite the one I had in mind. Anyone else? Someone here, was it?
Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday? What was on last Tuesday? Your home group. You read this.
Yes.
Praise God. June, well done. Anyone else? I'm going back even before last Tuesday. Right, I will tell you, because it was read, what's my question, when did you last hear it? Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey. Who read it? The Prime Minister, Liz Truss. And third one, who listened to it?
Millions of people.
How many?
Millions.
Do you know, they actually say 4 billion people could have listened to this word. the word goes out over the whole globe. 4 billion Liz Truss reading it in Westminster Abbey in memory of our beloved Queen. Now, this is the penultimate, as Jackie says, of the I Ams. We've been on a way, on a journey, the last 6-7 weeks. This is number 6. Anyone remember the first? It began with John 6, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me shall never hunger. Whoever comes to me shall never thirst. John 6, and the whole setting in John 6 of the Holy Communion, which we share today. Second one, anybody? I'm thinking back to John chapter 8. Peter gave a wonderful word on that. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. The third one, I think it was the gate. Was that you, Jackie?
It was.
Jackie, the gate, and someone after that said what a help it had been to see the shepherd lying across the gate, together, holding, protecting. Then the good shepherd, can't remember who that was, that's chapter 10 again. Jeff?
Dave.
Jeff?
Dave.
Dave did it. Oh, Dave did it. Well, remember, Dave, right. Thank you, Dave. That was the good shepherd. Then we have chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life, Jeff. And that in-between time in which we live here in the now and yet always in the eternal. And then today I am the way, John 14, 1-6. Next week, I think, Peter, I think, I am the vine. Jeff, next week. Jeff, I am the vine. And it began with bread, it ends with wine. So all the I am sayings of Jesus in John are within the context of the broken body and blood of Jesus. So I'm going to ask that we use our imagination for a little as we come to these amazing words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we don't use our imaginations very much. Let me read, for those of you who are more scientific than I am, Albert Einstein. You can't get a greater scientist than that. Than him, said, I am enough of an artist to draw freely upon my imagination. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world. That's Albert Einstein. We need to use our imaginations, not least when we read the Holy Scripture. Let me quote Hilary Mantel, that amazing author who died just a couple of weeks ago, wrote that amazing, I've not read any of them, I want to read at least the first one, Wolf Hall, was on television a few years ago, on Thomas Cromwell in the 16th century, amazing person. And she says this about the importance of imagination. She says, we need to switch off the mind and get in touch with the inner voice. We need to be more childlike in simplicity. We need what she calls informed imagination. So I make no apologies in having this imagination now. And what I ask is that it may help you to close your eyes or keep them open, but just not sort of letting the mind get too full of other things if you can. And think of a walk which you enjoy. Maybe a familiar one. It could even be the walk up to church. Could be the hills. Could be a walk I had for 10 years to work, to the train, commuter train, which I didn't like at all, but it was an important walk to get to work. It could actually be a holiday walk, could be a once in a time, lifetime walk, and you just let your imagination, so just come back to a walk which you enjoy, or even if you don't enjoy it, like that one I had going to work, it's still important. Come back to a walk that has had or still has importance for you. Just let your imagination just come to that walk. To walk the walk, that lovely phrase Jackie used in a prayer we had before the service, to walk the walk. What do you see on your walk? Just look around you. What do you hear? Any noises you hear on this walk? They may be beautiful noises, they may be harsh or difficult. Is anyone with you? Possibly on your own, maybe someone else is with you. Just be aware of another person or even of other people on this walk. Maybe you just stop and just touch something. Maybe a tree, maybe a piece of concrete, maybe, could be anything, a flower. Just touch it. Let it touch you. Maybe you can just smell too. And breathe a bit more deeper on this walk. Whether you like it or whether it's a difficult walk, it's still something that's part of you. It's almost like that walk on the road to Emmaus, and those two disciples, they said, "We were on the way." It's the same word Jesus used, "I am the way." We were on the way, and our hearts burned within us as he talked. Just let Jesus join you on that walk. You're not alone. Let him join you, and if he's a difficult companion to be with, still let him be with you, but be honest and just say, "Lord, it's not easy to have you walking like this with me." And then when they say, "In the breaking of bread he was known," on the way, known in the breaking of the bread. He's with you. He won't be put off. He stays and walks the walk. He listens to your heart, to my heart, to your words. He listens on this journey of faith, which Pope Francis says, we meet God along the way. Yes, times of doubt, times of uncertainty, times of illumination. Jesus just saying to each of us, let me walk with you, walk with you, I'm with you. Draw me closer, as we've just been singing. Draw me closer, Lord, to you. Whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, just awareness that he is with you and will not leave you. If you feel able, just give thanks that he's there. With you, by you, in front of you, behind you, enfolding you, but giving you space, giving you space. He's with you. And we move to these wonderful words that we've got up on the PowerPoint, Psalm 139. These are wonderful words because Psalm 139, 1 to 6, they're all about the Lord being with us on the way. And the Lord is translated by these words, Yahweh. But an Israelite would never use the full word. It was YHWH. And they would use the word, another word, Adonai, but they'd never use this word. So no one knows quite how it was said, but this was the word given by the Lord to Moses when he said, what is my name? It's Exodus 3:14, and we had this right at the beginning of our series. And the best translation I can find is when the Lord says to Moses at the burning bush, I am the one who is there for you and is with you and is by you. This is Jesus, Joshua, the Lord himself, the I am, because the word Yahweh, the word is from the verb to be, I am with you, I am with you. So these are wonderful words as we just look at this Psalm 139, where it begins with Lord, it begins with the I am. I am. Thanks so much, Jackie. Lord, on my way, you search me. And you know me. This is our journey of faith. You search me. And whatever you find in me makes no difference, Lord, to you. Because you still know. And the word know in the Hebrew scriptures means I love you. I love you. You know me. You love me. You know. This coming week, Lord, when I sit and when I rise, every day I'll be sitting. Sometimes maybe not easy to get up from a comfortable chair, but Lord, you give me strength when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. There's nothing hidden from my thoughts. You discern my going out. And then at night, my lying down, isn't it wonderful? You are familiar with all my ways. Then I think it goes on, even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it. Whatever I'm going to say this week, Lord, you know it. You hem me in behind and before. Now, I've often thought, oh dear, I feel I'm shut in. But the word isn't that. It means actually, you shape me behind and before, like a potter. You shape me. Because he goes on about being formed in the mother's womb. The mother's womb, you're being shaped, you're being formed like a potter with the clay. And you lay your hand, and the word actually means you lay the palm of your hand on me. The palm is the most sensitive part of our body when we feel. You lay your palm upon me. This is the word, this is a tender shepherd, isn't it? Tender shepherd. In front of me, behind me, lay your hand. And actually, it's too much. This is too much. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. All this week, Lord, as I travel the way, Jesus the way, the Lord, the I am, you are with me at every point. Praise God. Just quietly thank God, will you, for this. Thank God that this is the way. And each one of us, we had a lovely prayer before the service in which Jackie led us in saying, each of our ways are different. We're all so different. Your way is unique, utterly unique. But Lord, you're with my way as well as with the way of my brothers and sisters here in church and around me. Thank you. Just give thanks. Give thanks. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. And this is where we have these wonderful words of George Herbert, which you've got on a little bit of paper. Now, I've only learnt the first verse. If anyone can learn all three verses, I will give you a little reward at some stage. But the first one I have learnt, I'm just hoping now I'm not going to lose it in nerve. Come my way, my truth, my life. Such a way as gives us breath. Such a truth that not avoids, do you know, it's suddenly gone from me, a truth that ends all strife. Such a life that conquers death. Aren't these wonderful words? And I think Herbert is saying this truth, and he's a 16th century poet, probably the most famous of our religious poets in the English language. He is saying it's got to be my way. The Lord's saying, actually, come my way. It's the Lord's way. It's the Lord's truth. It's the Lord's life. But it's also for all of us. I love this. Such a way that gives us breath, life, the very life now that I'm breathing. Such a way that gives us life. Such a truth, and this is needed, isn't it, that ends all strife. And such a life that conquers death. I could put it here in another way. You see, what holds together the way, the truth, and the life? What holds it together? I've used the word what, and that's not the right word actually to say. How is the way, the truth, and the life held together? It's who holds it together, isn't it? Let's see if this is going to work. Sometimes with my grandchildren it works, sometimes it doesn't. I hope it's going to work. Is it? It has. It has worked. I'm so glad. Because Jesus holds it together. Jesus is the continuum from beginning to end. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Jesus holds it together. And that's what most wonderful thing that keeps the Lord, really, himself, the great I Am, at the very center of our life. So if we just come back briefly near the end to the context of these words, John 14. Because I love Thomas. He's such a realist. He says, Lord, for heaven's sake, or he might have used other words, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus holds the whole thing together. I am the way, and this way is truth, and this way is life. And we are followers of the way. And I love it in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, in Acts chapter 9, St. Paul says, I persecuted the way. He calls the Christians the way. Acts 24, I've got the words written here. Acts 24, he says, he's giving a defense speech to the Roman governor. According to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors. Do you see the journey of St. Paul? I persecuted the way. Acts 9, Acts 24. According to the way which I follow. That's a journey. You're all on this journey. I'm on this journey. We're all at different stages on it. I pray that one day, like Paul, each of us are able to say, according to the way which I follow. And I think some of us, if not all of us in the church now, would be able to say, this is the way that I'm following. This is the way. I am the way. And of course, Thomas, as a realist, says, I'm not going forward unless I know that you are the way. And then later, if you remember, he's the one who says, let's go to Jerusalem with Jesus. That's Thomas. He's the one disciple who says, let's go to Jerusalem, let's go to the cross. He is the one in John 20, those amazing words, where he says, I want to know, I want to see the nails, put my finger in the nail prints, put my hands in his side. Jesus meets him where he is. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Jesus meets us this morning where we are. Be a realist. Some of us are struggling in many ways. Lord, I want to know that you're with me on this way. Show yourself to me. Maybe even in the breaking of the bread, like those disciples on the way to Emmaus, being in the way, known in the breaking of the bread. Just get these last words up, Jackie. I just end with these words as a kind of prayer, really. From the 6th century, a Christian philosopher called Boethius. I've given these words to somebody recently who's done a pilgrimage in North Spain and to one or two other friends who are struggling on the way. Lord, to see you is the end and the beginning. Thou carriest me, thou goest before, thou art the journey and the journey's end. That long piece of rope in your life, Jesus, carrying you, holding you, sustaining you. And I end with these words, which I wrote a couple of days ago as I was so stirred in my heart as I was preparing this. It says, to whom do you belong? To whom do you belong? They asked in ancient days of God's holy people. We belong to the way, who for us is truth and life. Then why do you so belong? Tell us true. Our way is the Saviour, King of all ages, to whom all ages belong, and nailed to a tree outside the city's walls. So why then do you belong? We've lost our way. Turning to this and that. The stormy sea threatens us. The desert heat and sands engulf us. Truly we are lost. That's why we need the way. There is no other. Then can we too, can I too belong to such a way? Bend your knees. For you too can belong to one in whom alone we find our truth, our life, our way. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So now, as we come towards our time of prayer, we're going to prepare our hearts for both prayer and for meeting the Lord in communion. So we have a couple of more songs to sing. So let us sing of our love and our thanks to our Lord, who gives us the way, the truth and the life within God's mission to the earth. Let's sing. Please stand if you wish.
straight on.
If you'd like a seat, Diana is coming to lead us. Oh, and Paul, by the look of it.
I'm going to take over.
It's a family job.
Thank you, Jackie. Do you know, we've got a great privilege this morning. We've got Guy with us, the son of Andrew and Susan, the brother of Alice. And we're going to pray for Guy, because, do come up, Guy, I think, is it the 24th of this month?
The 27th
of this month, hopefully, because this man's waited, I don't know, for how long?
2 years. My official residency permit was given in 2020. So,
Guy,
quite a delay with COVID.
You and your family and those around you have somehow had the faith to keep going. And we thank God for you. And there's one, two pictures of going up, I think, Jackie. And just tell us, Guy, just tell us what these pictures are.
Okay, so I should briefly explain who I work for. So the charity is called Mission of Seafarers. We are the oldest seafaring charity.
So
Mission of Seafarers is the oldest seafaring charity. We're founded 180 years ago in Bristol, when a daughter of a priest asked their dad, "Oh, do the seafarers have a church to go to?" And he said, "I honestly actually don't know." So he went onto a ship with a Bible, and I guess you can say the rest is history. So we predominantly help seafarers spiritually, physically, and mentally. So the main things we do spiritually is we arrange for services on ships. So especially with COVID, none of them actually have been allowed off the ship. Some of them up to nearly over a year and a half without being able to go back. So we also arrange vaccinations. So there's a sort of a catch-22 where they weren't allowed off the ship because they didn't have a vaccination, but they couldn't get off the ship to get a vaccination. So my port in Seattle was the first in North America to arrange to get medical students to bring vaccinations to the seafarers so then they would be allowed off the ship. And one of the most important items we give them is surprisingly actually a glow-in-the-dark rosary. So most of them work during grey light going around the curvature of the earth. So that's a really nice thing for them to pray. And also a 90-day devotional. As they're changing time zones so often, it's really hard for them to keep like a day, you know, what day it is. So a 90-day devotion is something that really helps them, one, keep track of the days, but also, two, keep in touch with their faith. So majority of seafarers are Christian, as most come from the Philippines. I think 40% of all seafarers are from the Philippines. And then most seafaring crews will be Filipino deckhands and then Eastern European officers. And it has caused quite a lot of issues recently, mainly due to the war in Ukraine. So a lot of companies only hire Ukrainian and Russians to work together. So there's been quite a lot of issues on board the ships, but also my charity has helped by getting people's flights home. We also have a relief fund for people's families who've been then displaced from Ukraine, and also had some really quite, so we have a really great relationship with the crew, some quite hard moments where people have actually, they've just lost everything. Like, they don't know where, so on the ship, you can't use your phone or the internet. So some of them have no idea where their family are, if their kids or wife are still alive. So we were very lucky to give them free sort of internet, so SIM cards, like satellite phones. We worked with the charity to be able to give them to Ukrainians so they could keep in touch with their family back home, and also just showed how important faith was in those times when you actually don't have anything. So most of them were Eastern Orthodox, and we were very lucky to have an Eastern Orthodox sort of ministry in the city, so we got contact with them to try and bring them onto the ships as well to sort of help people in those really tough times. So they really appreciate all the support. And we also do some more nice things like just bring them gifts. So last year when I was there, we gave about 5,000 Christmas gifts, and then we also gave some at Easter. And it's also a really great opportunity to also actually introduce Christianity to some of them. So in South Korea, they have conscription, and part of the service, instead of going to the normal army, you can go to the merchant navy. So we had the bishop of the diocese with us, and we gave out ashes for Ash Wednesday. And so the rule of the ship is you have to go everything for the captain. So he went up to the captain and said, oh, can we bring, you know, give out some ashes? And he was like, why do you want to give out ashes? He didn't understand anything. So I had 20 minutes with the bishop, us trying to describe then what Easter was, and then sort of how far back they describe what Jesus did for us. It was about 20 minute conversation. Then he was like, I think we're okay. We're like, okay, not the best response. But then we went into the next ship, and they were so grateful that a bishop had come all the way. Because when you only see about 20 people, so most of them will work a 9-month contract. And some of that has been extended to the COVID period was over a year because they couldn't actually go home. And at the moment now we're having that with Ukrainian seafarers because they have no home to go to. So they just get extended. And also, one thing that works really well in America is the British accent, apparently, for get through security. So we had a lot of local high schoolers who had helped make the gifts. And we wanted to bring them onto the ships to kind of show the people they're affecting. And I just sort of had a really great relationship with security. And I kind of just said, oh, I'm bringing a load of high schoolers. Would that be okay? And they're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. We'll just bring a big bus for you. I'm like, okay, great. So I managed to sort of bring them onto the ship. And the crew there, they were all from the Balkans. And they were a really great crew. And I just said, hey, we've got a load of school kids. Can we bring them onto the ship? And they actually gave us a full tour, show them all around all the different rooms, answered all the questions all the kids had. So they were like, you know, what do you do if pirates attack and everything like that? So they had like a really great time. And it was just a really great opportunity to show the seafarers how the kids live, but also because they've only see about 20 faces all year round, it's really nice for them to actually interact with people. And also a lot of the people who are kids, it was nice, you know, be around sort of young people again and sort of bringing new energy to the ship. And we were also lucky from the previous slide, we worked with a lot of different charities. So the other one is the Filipino Welfare Society. As I said, 40% of all seafarers are Filipino, and I didn't actually speak any Tagalog or any of the languages, so it was really great to have all the different women we had the contacts with, and they would sort of go onto the ships. When you get to talk in your own language, it makes a really big difference to the seafarers and sort of make them feel at home. We bring loads of snacks. So especially during COVID, as they couldn't get off the ship, we bring lots of shopping. So when you go to McDonald's and offer like 30 burgers, it's sort of like quite the wait, but they really enjoy it. So we sort of try and do anything just to make their life a little better. And we had some really great memories of one time at Easter, they couldn't actually get off the ship. So I got one of the deacons from the cathedral to run like a full service. We bought some guitars because some of them were part of a religious band back in the Philippines. And I don't know how they did it, but they had like a whole pig roast on the ship for lunch that day. So they invited us to stay, which was a really, really lovely moment. And one of the big things as well is just to pray for is there's a lot of there's not many, there's about 3% of all seafarers are women, but they still have a lot of issues on the ship. So we were very lucky to have some on the route and we got to know them very well. And one of the big things about our relationship with seafarers is that they can come to us if there's any issues. So with a ship, that's not actually, when you're in the US port, it's not actually US soil. It's under the flag or whatever the country's registered with. So if anything goes wrong on the ship, it's kind of really up to us to sort it out. So it's kind of quite a lot of responsibility. Some days I'd start work at 10, and if there was an issue, I wouldn't finish till 9 o'clock because we were sort of the go-between, so I'd have to get in contact with the US Coast Guard, all the different unions, the embassy of the country the ship was registered, and also then the embassy of the people who might be affected. So it's quite a lot of responsibility, but everyone knows because we're not there just to sort of give the love of Jesus around, it gives this really nice responsibility where they know you're acting always in their self-interest, and there's always this underlyingness of just Jesus' love, and they always really respect it. Even if they're not always Christian, the port authorities, they always understand the mission, that it's not in our own interest, but it's just showing that love and interest for other people. And I can talk about
Guy,
it all day,
Guy,
and I'll just stop there.
Stay on for coffee, if you can, with your beautiful family, and share more. But we're going to pray for you, Guy. What a pilgrimage, what a way. Morven, Seattle, Morven, you went back to Seattle, back here, 27th to Kobe. And if you don't know where Kobe is, I found it on the Atlas, and I'm going to put it, we're going to pray for you, Guy, and we're going to put the Atlas here, which has Kobe is just west of Osaka, and it's west of Tokyo. How many hundreds of miles is it from Tokyo? Quite a long distance, I think. But dear Guy, now, Diana, you come up, and I love Jackie, and a couple of others just to come and pray for this man. And the Spirit, Andrew, it'd be wonderful for you to come. Thank you so much. The Lord just to guide us in our prayer. Thank you so much. Oh, you're well done, well done. Derek, come and join us. It'd be lovely to have you. Let's lay a hand on this man. Just Lord, just give us a prayer, prayer of your Spirit for this, your beloved child and servant.
Thank you, Lord, that you go ahead of him. You hem him in behind and before. As you go ahead, you're behind him. And I ask that, we all ask that you will lead Guy your ways, and he will be able to share your love with others and your practicalities with others. Thank you that you are truth, and we pray for your life to be in him and to flow through him to others.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You will be the light for Guy.
Yeah.
Guiding him, helping him to know your will in his life and how he can help those that he meets day by day.
Thank
Lord,
you.
Be the light.
Thank you. I use these words from Psalm 77. The end of that wonderful psalm. Your way is through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen, and you led your people. Lord, for Guy, for his family who've given him such amazing support, for us and other friends who've supported him, The way is through the sea, Guy, through mighty waters, who knows where God will lead. And sometimes the footprints are unseen, but you lead in the way, in the truth, in the life. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Guy. Thank you so much. We'll let Diana just continue with the prayer. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, please.
Psalm 62 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." Lord, we come to you, and we can come to you with all the things that are on our hearts and in this world, because you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life of the world. And so we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you have put your life and your truth within us. We thank you for ourselves, Lord, that you are behind us, in front of us, at whatever point we're at on this way. Thank you that you know us. It's both scary and a sort of relief, really, Lord, that you know us and yet you love us. And you lead us. So, Lord, we pray you will lead Guy. You'll go ahead of him as he goes to Kobe, a new, such a different place, different culture. Go ahead and prepare the way for him. We bring you first our own concerns in prayer. We bring you those who come to this church who are ill. We bring to you Karen Enright, who was here last week and is ill, quite seriously ill. We bring to you April, who's back in hospital. Let's bring to the Lord those on our hearts, those we carry, who we know are ill or sick, who need the touch of the Lord to be life and truth in their hearts. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for our church, Lord. For your, this church, and by this church I mean this one and St. Andrew's, to be led by your truth and your life and your presence. We pray for our leaders, we pray for Dave, for our clergy, those who lead services, those who preach, for Liz, our administrator. And we pray for us as the body of Christ, for unity. And somewhere it says that you'll know they're Christians because they love one another. We pray, Lord, we thank you for where there are all these little gestures of unseen sacrificial love and care. We pray for unity within our churches. We pray for your life, your truth, your way. And so we have a response, which is, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I say, Lord, in your mercy. And we're going to pray for our government. We pray for Liz Truss. Pray for James Hunt in particular. Pray for the opposition. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom and your truth, that they could do with your way and your truth and your life being their guide, Lord. May they want what is best for this nation. not what is best for their own interests, but just for you, and give them the wisdom of heaven to know how to guide us all through the issues that this country faces. We'll have a pause where we think together of Jesus. I think of Jesus being in Parliament as the way, the truth and the life. Let's hold together our government and Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I'm going to pray for those in poverty in Malvern. We may not know, perhaps we do know lots of them, we may not know many. And I pray for CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty, and Chris Mesley and Denise Ditchburn working with those who are in debt to help them become debt-free. For those who walk alongside them, their befrienders. For those who are in this program. For those who are just wondering how they're going to make ends meet now that things have changed. Lord, give us generosity of spirit to these people, to those we know, those we don't know. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we're going to bring to God the Ukrainian government, the Russian government. So, Lord, what do we say? We ask for you to be at work in their lives. I ask you to be at work in the life of President Putin, President Zelensky, those who somewhere along the line are trying to work for peace. I pray for those, particularly those who are calling out to you in their own faith. They're holding on to God. They're thinking a bit like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. For them, Lord, it's not academic. It's actually true. So we pray for those who are displaced, those who are fighting, those who are in despair, those who are injured. And we bring them to you, Lord. And we say, Lord, in your mercy. Let us be thankful, Lord God. May we be thankful that we have sufficient. May we be thankful we have heating. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have bombs. That we expect things to be more or less the same tomorrow. We don't expect our houses to be flattened. Thank you, Lord, for the relative stability and sufficiency that we do have. We ask for gratitude in our hearts, and we ask for generosity. Lord, in your mercy. And so in silence at the end, we're going to bring to God anything that's on your heart. You're bringing to one who is the way through all these troubles of life, the truth that sets us free, the life eternal. Lord, to you we bring the concerns of our heart. And so we're going to have a moment's silence. Lord, and say at the end, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's continue in a time of prayer by joining together in the prayer that our Lord gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as we come to a time to prepare for communion, let us say this prayer together. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Now, if you'd like to stand for the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. As you feel comfortable, let's share a sign of the peace. I'll have to do it because Andy normally does this. But.
Oh, right.
Okay, where is that?
Oh, well, no, but leave it as it is then. Yeah, leave it.
Okay.
Please, would you be seated? I'm just conscious that probably I went on a bit too long, but if anybody just needs to slip away, do please feel free to. But we come to this part of the service where we. We're on the way, knowing Jesus in the breaking of the bread. We do have the non-alcoholic wine, and we have the non-gluten bread as well, if any would like it. And we're going to stand around here, as we do sometimes, and when we come up, perhaps in two circles, just stay until everybody's received, then we're receiving it together as the body of Christ. And I think Diana and Jackie are going to pray first, so we'll minister to you first. And Suki is going to help here with the ministry of the chalice, which is wonderful. And Diana and Jackie will be at the back there for prayer or prayer after the service. If you're stuck in your way, if you need illumination, if you need whatever for the way of your life, we have people who will pray for you, which is a wonderful thing. So the table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It's the table of company with Jesus on the way with all those who love him. It's the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It's the table of communion with the earth, communion with seafarers all around the world. Whatever situation and danger they face, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, you who would like to have more, you who have been to this sacrament often, you who have not been maybe for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus, you and possibly all of us have failed in some way, come. And then we say together, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. And then together, blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who's known to us in the breaking of the bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." The same way he took the wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink this, the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." And then together, loving God, it is through your goodness we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made in the sharing of this bread. Together, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And then together we say, "Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God, come."
So let's join in the post-communion prayer together. Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion, that in his saving cup we may share his glory and be made perfect in his love. For he is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Aha, right. Last song. Christ be our light. Even in the dark times, we can trust Christ to be there with us, walking alongside us, being our light. So let us stand and sing. Thank you for all the wonderful gifts you bestow upon us. Accept these gifts as tokens of our love and guide us to how best to use them for building up your kingdom. Give us wisdom, Lord. Amen. Amen. So in darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let us have a blessing. May God keep you in all your days. May Christ shield you in all your ways. May the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God, the Holy Trinity, drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light. Amen. Amen. Let's say together. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Amen. Coffee at the front, prayer at the back. I don't think there's any more notices, so have a good week.